This is Father's Day, and I've been going through the book of 2 Timothy. So I want to look at Paul as spiritual father. But we were at my nephew's daughter's third birthday yesterday in Toronto, and talking to one of the men there, he said he was at work one day, and he got this phone call saying that his dad was very ill. So he quickly arranged a flight to Jamaica. But in the couple of days that they were able to make arrangements, his father passed away. He said he was talking to the pastor a couple of days after and asked him, he said, "You know, I always wondered whether my dad was saved or not." And the pastor said, "Not to worry, a short while before that, he was witnessing to him, sharing the word of God with him, and his dad said, 'I want to accept Christ as my Savior.' Not only that, short time after, his mother came to know the Lord, his sister and a niece. And so just a great time of rejoicing in his heart to know that God was working. We continue to pray for those who are outside of Christ, whether they're family members or people that we know. And we have to be encouraged that God is at work. And we can be thankful that there are those that are still come to faith in Christ. I'm not sure if I've mentioned this before or not, but this was back in June of 2003. Two things regarding fathers. First one is, "I'm going to follow you." And it says, author unknown, "Walk with me, Lord. Walk with the Lord, Daddy," said a little child so frail, "for I'm following in your footsteps and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are very plain, sometimes they're hard to see. So walk with the Lord, Daddy, for you are leading me. I know that you once walked this way many, many years ago, and what you did along the way, I'd really like to know. For sometimes when I'm tempted, I don't know what to do. So walk with the Lord, Daddy, you know I'm following you. Someday when I'm growing up, you are like I want to be. Then I will have a little child who want to follow me. And I will want to lead them right and help them to be true. So walk with the Lord, Daddy. I'm going to follow you." Then the next one is an acrostic. "Daddy, show me. Father, do you show the love of God as we stand by our child's side? Are we always there for our children to lead, counsel, and to guide? Though storms may buffet, trials may come, do they know that we love and care? Have they seen how our faith sustains us, how we go to God in prayer? Even when we admonish, do they realize it is for their good? Remember, Father, they're God's heritage, and love them like you should." 2 Timothy, please. Going to read the entire chapter. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Greatly desire to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Paul, we know, was one who persecuted the church, the people of God. He felt that it was his duty, in the sense that he thought that he was doing what God wanted him to do. And as we remember about Paul's life, we remember that he was on his way to again continue persecuting believers in Christ. And he was met on that road with a great light, and it stunned him, it brought him to his knees. And at that moment, he came to faith in the Lord Jesus. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 15 and 16, it says to, the word God said to Ananias, that he was to go to Paul. And Ananias questioned the Lord, saying that, you know, I've heard many things, verse 14, of this man, how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on his name. Verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And so Paul, writing from prison, writing to encourage, as I mentioned, his son in the faith, Timothy. In 1 Timothy 1:1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Then in Galatians 1:1, again it says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And Galatians 1:15-16 says, God separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. So Paul knew that, well, finally knew that God had a purpose and plan for him. And so he was able to be ways of God in such a mighty and powerful way. And we know that many of the epistles were written by him. God used him not only to write the word that he wanted him to, but he also used him, and as mentioned, Paul was going to suffer because of his faith, because of his service for the Lord. There are things that are happening in our country now, things that in some ways are subtle. This same gentleman that I talked to, he said that in camps, and we heard it here from a speaker a while ago, that usually the government allows some monies to be designated for those who are helping at camps, and they can, you know, get some funding to help, because most camps cannot fully support these counselors that come and help them. So what the government has been doing in the past has been of benefit to them, as well as, you know, other secular camps. But this year, there was a clause in there that they had to check off, saying that if you want to have monies going to your camp, you have to agree to this. And many, or most, I guess, would not sign it because it would be compromising what the Lord wanted them to do. Just last couple of days, the Supreme Court went against what, again, God's Word teaches regarding law school at Trinity. Different things are happening in our country, as I mentioned, in subtle ways. But Paul, years ago, many years ago, hundreds of years ago, once he came to faith in Christ, he knew that he was a chosen vessel for him. He knew that he was going to serve him. And he was encouraging this young Timothy to go and to be a witness, to serve the Lord. And so we have these verses. Paul, aware his end was near, exhorted Timothy to continue faithful in his duties, hold on to sound doctrine, to avoid error, to accept persecution for the gospel, put his confidence in the scripture, and preach it relentlessly. A young man. And Timothy's name means one who honors God. And we, as we read, his grandmother's name was Lois, his mother was Eunice. They were devout Jews teaching Timothy the Old Testament scriptures from childhood. And it also mentions that his father was Greek. Now, Timothy could have been discouraged knowing that his mentor Paul, or mentor teacher Paul, was in a damp dungeon and about to be executed, and he receives this letter from Paul encouraging him to be strong, to endure hardness, to be aware of false teachers. And as I read through 2 Timothy 1, I'd just like to go down through some of the verses and then skip over to 2 Timothy 2 for just a brief time. But in this chapter, Paul says that it was he was serving the Lord by the will of God, and he was encouraging Timothy. He was writing to him, and he says, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father. We find that in most of the epistles, they're written to the church or saints, and Paul gives the greeting of grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. But when he's writing to individuals, he adds the word mercy. And this happens in 1 and 2 Timothy. It happens regarding Titus as well. And he says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace, we've heard it before, is unmerited favor or God's riches at Christ's expense. Mercy is the manifest expression of pity. It is God's compassion towards those who are in misery and great extremity. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan who gives aid to a beaten, helpless man. He showed him mercy. Peace means the inner tranquility that comes from leaning on the Lord. You know, we talk much about peace today. We want it in the world. But true peace is something that happens within. The expression Christ Jesus our Lord stresses the Lordship of Christ. Whereas the word Savior occurs 24 times in the New Testament, the word Lord occurs over 500 times. So we should be able to make personal application of these important statistics: grace, mercy, and peace. Then in verse 3 he says, I thank God. Paul, after all that he had done, was now in a position to thank God. Thank him in spite of all that he was going through, in spite of being in prison, he could thank God. And he says that whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Paul was indeed a man of prayer. It's something that we need. I know Dennis and I were talking to Faye this morning, and she says that the prayers of the saints has been a tremendous blessing not only to her, but in their family as well. You know, on the screen on Wednesday night when we come for prayer meeting, we've been praying for one of their grandsons who has been having drug problems and, well, creating havoc in the home. And she was saying this morning that things too seem to be turning around a bit, for which they are very thankful. But Paul was one who was thanking God. He was praying for those he knew. And so he was indeed a great man of prayer. And we need to ask ourselves, how is our prayer life? You know, I'm sure that Timothy's mother and grandmother were great prayer warriors as well. And through that, they were also teaching him the Old Testament scriptures so he would know the word. So as a young man, very young child actually, Timothy was learning about the word of God. And even reading about, you know, I'm going to follow you, a child saying to his dad, I need you to follow the Lord so that I can follow you as well. Some of you may read the Choice Gleanings, and Jim Compt had an interesting comment about a young child who was dying. And his dad was struggling as to how to tell him that he would be gone soon. So one point he finally told the son that he was dying, and he asked him, you know, how he felt. The son said, I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus because I can see Christ in you. What a testimony for a child to be able to look at their parent and say, I see Christ in you, and therefore I know that things are going to be well with me. In verse 6, again Paul talks about remembrance, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Everyone who comes to saving faith in Christ has a gift that the Holy Spirit gives him. Are we developing that gift? As he says, stir up the gift of God. Are we developing that gift? Are we allowing the Lord to use us, to work in us, so that the gift is developed, so that we can be a blessing to others, a witness to others? A professor, I can't remember the person I was talking to, but he was a professor of philosophy. When university classes first started, he said to the class, how many of you are Christians? There were six that put up their hands. He said, I'm going to challenge you, and I'm going to do all that I can to persuade you to turn away from the Lord. A professor, perhaps teaching, 40 or 50, and this could only be perhaps in one class, but in various classes, and six students were willing to take a stand and say, yes, I belong to Christ, and he was confronting them already and saying, all right, I'm going to challenge you. Stir up the gift of God, which is in thee. Then verse 7 is certainly an encouragement to us, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. I wondered about that word, a sound mind. Yes, you think of power and love, but also a sound mind. And when we focus on the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is able to teach us much and show us much from His Word so that we can meet head on those professors or others, even our peers, who confront us and say, you know, what you believe in is just nonsense. And then verse 8 says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. God had said to Ananias regarding Paul that he was going to suffer much affliction. He was going to suffer for the Lord. And Paul is saying to Timothy, his son in the faith, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. You know, there are times when our walk with the Lord is such that when people see us, they know there's something different about us. Times when we may not have to say a word, but they know by our manner and attitude what a difference it is. I remember Cliff Campbell, who's in full-time service for the Lord out of Windsor. He said that the day that he came to faith in Christ, he was a young man working in a setting where, you know, when they broke for lunch, times when you just are able to get together and you talk. And yes, there was certainly cursing and swearing and the like. the day that he first went back to work, or went to work after he came to faith in Christ, some men saw him bowing his head, giving thanks. So, of course, they knew something had happened in his life. And they ridiculed him. And, you know, because they knew that yesterday this man could have, you know, been cursing and swearing. Yet all of a sudden, there was a change in this man. And he said it was tough to be in a situation, but certainly his testimony before the Lord. And it says that we are to be partakers as well of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us. He's called us with an holy calling. So we're not only saved, but also called. And it's not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Things that are happening in the world today, and we wonder about much that is happening. One thing we can be assured of, God is sovereign. And we don't fully understand his purposes and his plans that happen in our country, other countries as well, where we can be assured that God knows what he's doing, and he is able to use different people, you know, in government circles, etc., as well as even in the classroom or in the workplace, to fulfill his purposes. But he wants us to be faithful in serving him, to not be ashamed to witness for him or be a testimony for him. Verse 10 says we're not to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Verse 9, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Because our Savior Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven, came to this earth, he did indeed abolish death. Satan thought that he was going to be fully in control of this world, and he has much influence in it. And yet Christ's death on the cross abolished any thought that he had of, you know, being able to control and be in charge. But the gospel has brought life and immortality. And then Paul, mentioned verse 1 that he was an apostle, but it says here that he was appointed a preacher, not only an apostle, but a teacher. So Paul was used of God in many various ways, and he's encouraging Timothy to be willing to be used of God. And verse 12, for he says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And I'm sure most of us know Romans 1:16. Start at verse 14. Paul writing, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God. God is indeed still in this day and age to save and to use us for his glory and honor. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And then he encourages Timothy in verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Encouraging Timothy to hold on to sound doctrine. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwells in us. And then he talks about a couple of people that turned away from him. Then in verse 16, he says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and he was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. So we have that. But just in the last few moments, there's so much in the second chapter that I'd just like to highlight and leave you with. Verse 2 says, no, verse 1 says, first of all, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Encouraging to Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong. Then he says in verse 2, commit thou to faithful men the things that you have heard, so that you can, so that as you teach other men, then they are able to teach others also. Verse 3, endure hardness. And he gives examples of a soldier. He gives an example of an athlete, verse 5, of a farmer in verse 6. And then he encourages Timothy to consider in verse 7, the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Verse 9, the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So he encourages Timothy to be strong. He encourages him to be faithful in the word of God, to be able to not know it, to only not only know it for himself, but to teach it to others. There are different examples of enduring hardness, being a good soldier of Jesus Christ, an athlete. You know how much training it takes for an athlete to be at the top of his game, to the farmer or husbandman that must labor so that they can be partaker of the fruits. I appreciated what Jonathan had to say when he was talking from Zephaniah last week, and he mentioned about the harvest that came. And of course, when you're harvesting a crop, you need good weather, etc. And yet, in their lives, at that particular time, rains came and ruined crops, something that would not normally happen. To me, if God was using this example to say, I am blessing you, you have put in the work, there needs to be a harvest, and I'm blessing you by withholding any rain so that the crops will produce. And then he says, we need that understanding of God's word, and the Holy Spirit is certainly able to show us and teach us things from his word. He says that the word of God is not bound. As I mentioned before, God is sovereign. His word will go forth and do what God has intended it to do. But is he able to use us to take his word? And he says in verse 10, I endure all things. And then just down to verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly you dividing the word of truth. We've heard from the Frimpongs that some of the young children are learning chapters from the book of Hebrews, memorizing them. And I know both Jonah and I have talked about that, to think that, and it's not only few, I think that Joseph was saying there are 40 young children who are memorizing chapter after chapter of Hebrews. Study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then we can be assured of this in verse 19. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And he also encourages Timothy to flee youthful lusts, to follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. This book of 2 Timothy, as mentioned, I have enjoyed just learning different things from it and being encouraged by how God is using his word to be imparted in our lives so that we can continue to be of service for him. What about you today? Are you willing to let the Lord use you? It might not be easy, but the Lord does want us to be faithful in serving him. There is a reward waiting for us, or rewards, crowns, but certainly here, while we are here, we can be used of him in such a marvelous and gracious way. Father in heaven, we are thankful. Thankful for your word. Thankful that we can be used of you to live out our lives as you choose to work in and through us. Help us to be faithful. Help us to endure hardness. Help us to be strong. Help us to day by day say, Lord, guide my steps. Use me. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.